p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
A good afternoon, beautiful people. It's just a few seconds after 2 o'clock. You're tuned in to CFRC, Kingston's campus and community radio station, 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. And this is an abbreviated version of Swing, Swang, Swung. We're here for about 45 minutes or so, and then Jesse's going to jump in with the pregame show and a football game kicking off at 3. So stay tuned for all this great programming coming your way. Want to mention off the top that there is live jazz going on around town. Remember, every Monday at the RCHA Club at 4:30, the Kingston Jazz Society sponsors jam sessions and performances. Check that out. Musiki on Monday nights as well with the Morning Doves. That's happening. And then the 28th of August, the Powerhouse Trio are playing up at the Wolf Island Hotel. That's going on at 8:30. It's a Pay What You Can event. That's on Friday, August 28th. That's a great fusion trio from Poland that's coming back through town. And then this coming Tuesday, the 25th, over at the Broom Factory, there's an acoustic guitar night going on, with three international guitar players getting together and performing as a trio with Adrian Ballou from California, not Adrian Ballou from King Crimson, Van Larkins from Australia, Ross Hunter, three great guitar players all on one stage, $30 at the door. Again, that's at the Broom Factory, Tuesday, August 25th. So to start us off today, let's play a little bit of that. This is a track called Settle In from one of those guitar players. This is Van Larkin kicking off Swing, Swang, Swung. Thank you.
Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought all the people that I knew who didn't drink were self-righteous people, holier than thou. So it never occurred to me that Alcoholics Anonymous was filled with people who had drank like I did, and now were the same people that I used to drink with. The same people that I liked, only now they weren't drinking. They were people just like me who had been drinking for a long time and found out that it didn't work for them anymore.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Thank you.
That was a song called That was a song called Sting Like a Bee. It's from a 2023 record called One Man Standing by the band Dixon. It's now 30 minutes after 2 o'clock. You're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. Also in that set, we listened to music from Ottawa saxophonist Peter Kankura, along with Charlie Hunter on 8-string guitar and Jeff Clapp on the drums. That's taken from their album, Don't Let It Stop, and we listened to the title track from that. Also in there, guitarist Jordan Officer with a song entitled Remington Ride, and that's from his album Country Volume 1 that came out in 2020. Super Generous in there as well with Sao Paulo Slim, and we started that set off with Van Larkin, accompanied by Maneli Jamal, from Jamal's album, The Mardum Movement, that came out in 2016. We listened to Settle In. Van Larkin is part of the Guitar Trio project that's coming to the Broom Factory on Tuesday evening. Make sure you get down there and check that out. It should be a very, very interesting night of music. So this is an abbreviated version of the show. Jesse's jumping in about 13 minutes, so I'm just going to play a couple more tunes. I got some Gene Harris that'll take us right up to the football pregame show. This is from an album called Elegant Soul that came out in 1969. Gene Harris and the Three Sounds here with a track called Sitting Duck.
Thank you. once more.
Good afternoon, football fans, and welcome to some preseason football action here on CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. I'm Jesse Bell, and I have the distinct pleasure of being joined by my broadcast colleague, a rare home game appearance from the one and only Don Lewis. Don, thank you for joining me.
Jesse, great to be on with you this afternoon, and looking forward to this afternoon's preseason matchup between two teams who had high hopes at the end of the last season and certainly have very high hopes coming into this 2026 football season.
And on that note, we are going to see, for the first time in my broadcast career, and I believe, would this be the sixth time for you, Don, that you've called a Laval Rouge et Or game?
Actually, ironically enough, the last time they played was the one time I missed that game, unfortunately, due to work commitments as a new principal in Brockville. But as I say, this is the sixth time Laval came into the then OQIFC conference that Queens was in from about the late 1970s, early 1980s. So they played five matchups, the Gales winning the first two, then Laval taking the first three as they eventually took over the OQ and really the now the RSEQ. But as you say, that Mitchell Bowl here back in 2009, you know, a lot of people call that the Jimmy Allen game, if you will. For fans who long-term fans of the Gales with that 118-yard missed field goal return, kind of shades of a former Ian St. Arnaud kind of play, and that was really the key in that victory. Laval came into that game. That was the first year that they were going to host the Vanier Cup at Pep Stadium down in Quebec City, and unfortunately for them, they fell 33-0, but fortunate certainly from a Gales perspective as Queens would go on to beat Calgary 33-31 the following week over the Calgary Dinosaurs.
And a key player from that Vanier Cup season is actually officiating here today, Don. We've got former Gale Scott Valberg as one of our main officials for this preseason clash. And we've talked about it, but this Laval team, one of the most meteoric rises to success in Canadian sports history. This is their 30th season. They were founded in 1996 and originally coached by a physical education teacher. And within 5 years, their current coach, the great Glenn Constantine, would take over and transform this program into a perennial, not just provincial contender, but a regular fixture in national championship games, 12 Vanier Cups in 30 seasons. Certainly, high hopes to add another to that count this year, a team that came up just 2 points shy of defeating the eventual Vanier Cup champion Montreal Carabin in the Dussault Cup last year. And there is a lot of switchover with this Laval team, notably at quarterback, as what we have on our depth chart for today, the starter is quarterback number two, Victor Charlon. He is taking over for Arnaud Desjardins. Getting into the French swing of things, folks. I'll get there by the time kickoff rolls around. Desjardins last year, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So we have, I'm not going to say a bit of a question mark at quarterback for Laval because they are consistently one of the best passing offenses in the country, but certainly a bit of a new era at quarterback. You compare and contrast that to the starting Queens quarterback in his officially fifth year. I think it's probably closer to 6 years now. Number 12, Alex Vraken. So we've immediately got a big point of difference between these two teams. A newer quarterback under the gun and an established veteran in Vraken. And Don, last year, breakout season for Alex Vraken. Talk a bit about, just the overall level of success he had and some of the things he does that you really appreciate as a broadcaster.
Well, I think he was coming off of an opportunity to do an internship with one of the CFL clubs and that, and he also had a chance to spend some time with the Alouettes back earlier this year. But we've seen just that sort of patience in the pocket and then the arm strength. And then I think certainly for Alex last year was his healthiest season and obviously a statistically most successful season. But, you know, we saw it in that first regular season game in that play, one of the plays that to extend that overtime game, unfortunately losing to Western in that game. But Alex one of those gotta have it plays, head first dive into the end zone, and then he, you know, in the final Ontario game last year, winning the Yates Cup in Laurier, had a similar kind of play there. And those were those kind of plays where you saw, okay, Alex is putting it on his shoulders, not just the ability to throw the ball and that, but really showing the you know, the timeliness and the force that he can run with as well.
And I think that was the biggest thing for me is, obviously, we talked about that kind of straight breakaway speed and scoring those two big touchdowns, but his mobility in the pocket and extending plays is something that Coach Snyder has remarked about. He's just a very tall, very lanky frame, but he's added enough muscle mass on there that he's able to compete with and even win some of these, you know, sack versus extension plays. I think of homecoming last year against the Windsor Lancers. He had Ahmad Taylor, then the top pass rusher in the conference, bearing down on him, and he managed to stiff arm, shake himself loose, and complete a pass. So he's just got all these remarkable physical tools that he has honed. And last year, the big thing, this was a Gales team that was, I think, a lot healthier in general last season than certainly we saw in 2023 and 2024. In fact, last year was the first year since 2021 that the Gales managed to go an entire season with their starting quarterback in the lineup. So a nice turn of events for a Queens team that has traditionally struggled with injuries. But on that note, because they had those injuries in 2023 and 2024, we saw a lot of young players, especially in the receiving core, get key opportunities that have developed into really strong pass catchers since. And one of the names I think of there is Logan Walton, who was out for the training camp practice that we attended, but is in the lineup today. Number 13, just feels like he's primed for a big year. That's maybe my hot take. Don, anybody on this offense that you think could be primed for a really big 2026?
You know, I certainly agree when you're talking about somebody like Logan Walton. You know, and the way that he came on in a couple of playoff games last year, really, you know, a couple of big receptions in that game down in Windsor that really helped the Gales to, you know, gain control in that game. You know, we talked about it the other night when we were here last year. The Doug Hargreaves Award was shared by Jared Kasari and Nathan Falcone. And then who are going to be the guys that are going to fill those shoes? And that, you know, I'm expecting a big season out of number two, Russell Weir, this year. And that he already had a good season last year in that slot role, expecting to see him, you know, maybe go to that next level. But then you take a look at, okay, you're trying to replace all of those yardage that, you know, and the running, the touchdowns, and the leadership that you had from Jared Kasari, maybe kind of going back to almost what we saw in the sort of the 2021-2022 Gales, where it's a little bit of running back by committee.
And we have got four running backs in the lineup here today. Sorry, folks, we were just making sure that wasn't the anthem starting a bit premature. You may also pick up the sound of helicopters circling overhead. We had a big Chinook that's been just circling the stadium here today. Maybe, I'm just saying, I know we have a trade war going on. Let's hope that it doesn't escalate into a full-blown one during this broadcast. Knowing our luck, you never know. But we do have four Gales running backs on the depth chart today, and we had discussed this Monday night when we attended training camp. You know, by the end of the season, who could, if anybody, kind of emerge as your primary ball carrier? I'm not going to say your number one guy, but who's in there for the lion's share of the load? On the depth chart here, and bear in mind, Queens would do this all the time last year. They'd always list, you know, Liam Silverson as the starting H-back, and then they'd start Mateo Tuioti. So just bear in mind that we do have Ethan Dahl, who has switched to number 26 this year from 28. He is listed as the starting running back with Jace Baldwin, Isaiah Adams, and here's the homer in me, Sydenham High School graduate Josh Bennett, listed as the fourth. And Bennett, rocking a number that will be very familiar to Gales fans, taking over number 29. In fact, we have a couple Gales in the lineup that are filling in for some very famous numbers. We look at, for instance, Dan McQuette rocking the number 24, formerly belonging to Ashton Miller at Melançon. We have got Josh Bennett in the 29, belonging to Jared Kasari. We talked about 26, Ethan Dahl. And then 44... and bear in mind, folks, this is a different name, Daniel McQuette, who is a linebacker. So we have Dan McQuette, a halfback at 24, Daniel McQuette in Justin Pace's 44. So we shall see Oh, yeah, and a great call, Don. Eli Bennett switching from 58 to 99. So we have these massive, significant numbers, more on those numbers perhaps at a later date, that are being filled by new players in the lineup. So adjust your programs at home.
Going back, when you talk about Daniel McQuaid moving into where number 44, and, you know, we talk about who's going to replace Justin Pace and how are they going to, you know, in the middle of that Gales defense, and that DJ Ryan, Jeremy Hiscox being first on the depth chart. We take a little bit, look a little further down, Brandon Spence. And, you know, when Pace was out of the lineup last year, Brandon Spence did an excellent job coming in to fill the role that of Justin Pace. The other guy, take a look at the linebacker when you talk about switching numbers, and that going from 30 to number 8 is Jacob Baldwin. And that, and the game that he had down in Laurier was just phenomenal. And that, unfortunately, blown his hamstring. Otherwise, he would have been in for another pick six in that game. But he had a great game in that game, and the game he had the week before.
Oh my God.
And that was just incredible down in Windsor.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a player where there's a lot of massive internal expectations. The kind of word in the locker room is Jacob Baldwin, the expectation is he's going to have a President's Trophy caliber year. And it's hard to argue otherwise. That Laurier game that you mentioned, if he had played a full four quarters, I am certain he would have taken home the Yates Cup MVP trophy. And he may have at least added one or two more interceptions to his total. A legendary performance, and you can hear, folks, we are getting ever closer to kickoff. Kickoff scheduled for just a shade after 3 p.m., and I'll take a quick moment just to thank our sponsor for the pregame show. It is sponsored by CFRC Power Plays, but that's made possible through a generous donation of a private benefactor, a member of the Queens football community, who gave us this money with the explicit intent that we use it to grow CFRC Power Plays and the coverage we do. So I just want to thank that benefactor. I know they're listening right now. Their support is greatly appreciated. They didn't want to advertise their own business, so they chose to advertise what we do with CFRC Power Plays. Give us a follow on Instagram today. And my goodness, folks, if you're just joining us, you have tuned in for some very special preseason football action. Last year, we did not have an explicit preseason game. We had kind of a private, closed-off scrimmage against the Carleton Ravens. And this is quite the jump up as we move from an OUA contender to a national powerhouse. And, folks, we are just seconds away from your Gales entering the field. Also worth noting, both teams bringing far more than the normal allotted number of players. I mean, these lineups are 60 to 70 players deep here today. Laval, for instance, brought 7 running backs with them, just to give you an idea. So we're going to be reaching quite deep into the depth chart at various points today. But Don, for me, I love getting a chance to see this next generation of player, these guys that are on the bubble, because they're going to play so much harder than you would expect from a preseason game. Because for some of these guys, this is deciding whether they're playing or dressing this year, or whether they're spending another year kind of on the fringes of the roster.
Well, you know, and as you mentioned, you know, Laval are looking at some turnover and some change at the quarterback position. You know, they've got about 2 or 3 guys that expect to see a lot of action from this afternoon. For the Gales, you know, obviously very set at quarterback, but as we talked about, you know, who's going to sort of pick up and take the lead at the running back positions and that. You know, you can expect to see Alex Fraken. I would certainly expect to see probably a good portion of the first quarter, and then we'll start to see some of the other guys in after that. It will be an exhibition-type game feel, but in that, as you said, you're going up against Laval. And, not arguably, they have been the best. Yeah. The best team in the nation, going back to when they joined back in 1996.
And with our quarterback depth chart, we have Ashton St. Germain, Tyson Gooden, and first-year Noah Walters. And folks, we are going to take a quick break as we stand for the Canadian National Anthem. We'll be back with you shortly on Gales Game Day.
CFRC Power Plays is your home for every touchdown.
The 20, the 15, the 10, see ya!
Every turnover.